Lord, just a few minutes, Lord God, inspire my heart and enable me to speak according to thy will. A verse of scripture came to me from Isaiah. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, there's a lot going on in our country right now, and it's, the Lord's really got me dwelling on a lot of things about it. A number of people that we talk to are just very frightened. They're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. We don't have to be frightened. We don't have to be scared of what's happening. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. This whole earth belongs to Him. Where's that found? I can't even remember. It makes no difference what country you live in. That country belongs to Him. It doesn't mean that everything that country experiences is going to be good. You will remember that the Israelites were God's people, and they forsook the Lord in their hearts. They continued to worship in the same manner they always had, but in their hearts they forsook the Lord. Worship can become very mechanical. There's a lot of Christians today that go to church every Sunday and think they're doing just fine, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. Israel, as I mentioned, was God's people, and they forsook the Lord in their hearts. And God allowed another nation to come in and to conquer them. They became an enslaved people in the land of Babylon. Hey, you'd have thought they learned their lesson in Egypt, but they didn't. And now they find themselves in Babylon. Things aren't going too good for those of Judah. The other 10 tribes already gone into captivity by the Assyrians and were scattered all over the country. Nobody knows where they are. The thing that makes the difference is, where is your heart focused? What do you believe? And that doesn't mean that whatever you believe, as long as you believe it, it's okay. That's what some people say. Man, just what you believe, as long as you believe it. No, it does matter what you believe. Almost everyone, and I'm speaking of Christians also, almost all of them, their truth is what they see with their eyes, what they think with their mind. That's their truth, and that's the way they respond. And when things don't look good, they get worried. And things aren't looking good in the United States of America. Looking a lot worse than some other countries. In fact, I don't think there's a country on earth today that doesn't have some really, really big problems. But there's something that we need to know. We were talking this morning about the fact that I mentioned He's the Lord over my life, so I don't have to worry about what comes my way. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He's the Lord over my life. I've accepted that as an established fact. Nothing can happen to me except what He allows. And He allows some things that don't feel good at all. Things that at one time I was like, the devil did that. It was God doing it, but He has a reason. We have to go through tribulation. We have to go through a lot of things. You're not going to empty out the things of self without a little help from God, and He knows how to give you the help that you need. Give you some very difficult circumstances. You think you have faith? Well, let's throw you into a pit, a burning fire, like the 3 Hebrew children, so much faith you got. We need tough times. But if you know He's the Lord over your life and you've made that ultimate decision, God is real, and I belong to Him totally, completely. Nothing to discuss. It's a done deal. In Isaiah 6 and 1, oh, let me mention one verse of scripture from Romans, I think, 4:17. God called things that are not as though they are. God has a way of saying things, and he did this many times throughout the scriptures. Many times he would speak something, and that there's no evidence of that thing being an established fact whatsoever. But because he said, it's true. Now, it might be a little difficult for you to believe it if you're one of those Christians that you got to have some evidence first. But then that's the way God is. He wants us to believe Him when there's no reason to believe Him. Just believe Him because you know He is. He is. Anyway, in Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, we won't get into that, but, you know, why did it say in the year that King Uzziah died? Because it had to get Uzziah out of the way. That's for another day. You can think on it and see if you can come up with an answer. Anyway, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord. Ooh, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Also the Lord. I guess he saw King Uzziah die too. Huh? He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And if you can get rid of the distractions, if you can get rid of all the things that come in to try to take away your focus, keep you from believing the things that you know you should believe. See, when that Uzziah is out of the way, then Isaiah could see the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, high and lifted up. Now, at the time, there probably wasn't very much that Isaiah could point to. Say, well, he's on the throne. You say, well, all these circumstances and problems going on, I'm supposed to say God's on the throne. It looked like the devil's on the throne or something. What's going on here? Well, you have to know what you believe. Not sitting on a fence. Not being wishy-washy. You know, some people, they can muster up a lot of faith. They can believe for something. And then something comes along that knocks them off of their faith stool. And then all the faith is gone. James says that if you doubt, it just wipes out all the faith. It has to be a believing that nothing can produce any doubt. It becomes an established fact in your heart, not to your mind. Your mind is God's enemy. Romans 8, I think it's verse 7. The carnal mind is your natural mind, your human mind, is God's enemy. It can't submit to God. In fact, it's impossible. It's impossible for your mind to submit to God. Therefore, it's only with your spirit that you can believe something that transcends the natural mind. So that whatever comes into the natural mind, it doesn't move you from what you know to be truth. That's faith. And it's not your faith. It's the faith of the Lord. So, with Uzziah out of the way, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Who's on the throne for you? Now, I tell you, if you got self on the throne, you're in big trouble. because there's one established truth in the scriptures that the arrogant, the high and mighty, they're coming down. And the humble, the gentle of heart, God's raising up. So the moment there's arrogance, thinking you're a big shot, the moment you begin to lift yourself up, that's the beginnings of coming down. So he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Then above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. In other words, with two of the wings he covered his face, and with two of the wings he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. These seraphim, they cover their face of their presence, because the presence of the Lord is going to be greater. And he covered his feet. It speaks of the humility thing. And with two wings he did fly. Just speak, Lord, I'm flying. You speak and we're moving. Right, verse 3, this is where I was headed. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then he goes on to say, talk about the post of the door moving at the voice of him, and the house filled with smoke. And then Isaiah says, woe is me. Woe is me. What we want to see here is the fact that these seraphim that are around the throne, they have a truth, and they're speaking that truth. And the truth they speak is holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now, you realize a host is an army. Holy is the Lord of armies, host, multitude. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, at the time the seraphim was saying this, all kind of warfare going on in different countries. There should be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. How do you get out of that warring? You get out of that warring when your truth is no longer in the things that you see, but your truth becomes the things that God has made real. You mean to say all I've got to do is say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the whole earth is filled with glory. Magically, everything cleans up down here? No. Not that simple. But it's amazing that when this happens to you, that you begin to know God's truth as an established fact, as a reality to you. Your whole persona changes. What you think, what you feel, all comes into a focus. The whole earth is full of his glory. You won't worry about what they're doing in D.C. Oh, well, we just ignore it? Oh, no. We do like the seraphim and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth, that includes D.C., that includes London, that includes any country. The whole earth is full of his glory. As you speak it, it begins to happen. And it becomes a truth to you. Now here's the thing. People get worried about what's happening in the country because their heart isn't right with the Lord. They haven't lined up themselves or tuned in to the truth of what God is saying. So when you begin speaking this, say, Lord, I'm going to do that. The whole earth is filled with your glory, Lord. Can't see it, but I know it's a fact. Isaiah said so. But you got to realize, where is this going to be accomplished first? Within you. We have an earthen nature, and it first has to take place within us. That's what brings the change of what you know is what you real. People talk about being born again, and most Christians have never experienced it, because they still carry the same habits, the same problems. They still don't know the Lord. When a person is born again, he has a new nature. He doesn't have, he's one that can stand and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And there's no doubt. Makes no difference what you see. There's a scripture, Amos comes to my mind. That might be where it is. You can look it up. Can two walk together except they be agreed? It's something about speaking the word of the Lord and speaking it and continue to speak it until it becomes a part of you. And that's when things begin to change. This country will change. It's all going to change when there's a people. You can stand and shout about the Constitution if you want to, but the change is going to come when there's a people that will, with one voice, say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Have you ever thought about why it is that the federal government is so intent on getting rid of anything that speaks of the Lord God of heaven and earth? Take prayer out of school. I got news for you. You can stop people from praying out loud, but you can't stop people from praying. You can get rid of all of the crosses, all of the little plaques with the Ten Commandments and all the pictures of Jesus and the crucifixion. Get rid of all that stuff. But you can't get rid of God. He's still here. He's omnipresent. And the last thing He said to the disciples, "And lo, I am with you always." Now, if you're waiting for Jesus to come back, my question to you is, why do you think He's gone? Why aren't you living with Him every day? Why haven't you entered into His world? Why don't you know His truth? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with His glory. It happens in here. And when the whole of your earth is filled with His glory, it's because He's in there. And you're not waiting for Him to come back then. You're becoming one with Him. Man, I tell you, Christianity has so wrecked everything and destroyed everything. They twisted the scriptures and everything else. Lord, you remember when you came through went through the temple? Run out all the money changers? Do that with Christianity, Lord. Do that with Christianity. Run, go through Christianity. We just loose the judgments of the Lord to come. Let Thy judgments come upon us. Start right with us, Lord. And then let Your judgments come through all of Christianity. Everyone that names the name of the Lord, let them experience Your judgments, Your tribulations, because the tribulations is what brings cleanness and a right heart. Now, Paul says in Corinthians, we will punish all disobedience when your obedience is made complete. You see, you want God to deal with those people in D.C.? Get your heart right. He deals with the wicked. He's going to deal with you too, because Christianity is about as wicked as it can get. Let this become your truth. And reject anything that says anything different. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory. Speak it, live it, dream it, think it, proclaim it, prophesy it until it becomes a reality to you, until no way the enemy can bring any doubt to your mind. It won't make any difference what you see. It won't make any difference what someone else said. Oh, but we're in a recession. Whole earth filled with glory. And then the posts of your door are moved by the voice of Him, and the house is filled with smoke. That smoke is the evidence of the Shekinah glory as it moves into your dwelling. And Isaiah tells you what you'll say when that happens. Woe is me, for I am undone. Well, there's the answer, guys. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. You got a lot of armchair prophets out there saying, oh, the end of time is coming. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Amen.